But what an honor it is to be introducing Rabbi Hajioff. Not much of an introduction is necessary on campus. The courses are always, as I'm always told, full before the second day even starts. Baruch Hashem. What an opportunity to be able to learn from Rabbi Hajioff. I think I heard Rabbi Hajioff for the first time. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, Rabbi Hajioff, in Camp Morasha, and it must have been like 10, maybe 12 years ago at this point. And at that moment, I was like floored, not only because Rabbi Hajioff brings the content, but the humor and the model of producing the Torah is really just remarkable. And what an opportunity is to be able to learn with you tonight as a community, Rabbi Hajioff. I'm going to put you on the spotlight now video. And without further ado, Rabbi Hajioff, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. I can't see my face pop up like that. My nose is too big. I'm going to make a gallery view. That's much better. I can see you guys individually. Hi, everyone. Wow. I am greatly impressed by the amount of young women who have joined us this evening. I'm going to Zoom Dad already. I'm Zooming all day, all night. This is a real pleasure and treat. I recognize a number of these faces from school. It's a pleasure and an honor. And dear friends, it's not a topic I've actually spoken about much before, but I was asked through Torah personalities, and you know, your knee-jerk reaction is like when you have to give a devout Torah, you're like, I'll take Avraham. Okay, give me Sarah Menu. But Eliyahu Hanavi, there's a lot to say on Eliyahu Hanavi. And those who know me well, know that every class I give is ultimately about Mashiach. And the two, Eliyahu Navi and Mashiach ben David, are closely and greatly related in terms of mission and in terms of time, which is quite extraordinary because Eliyahu Navi lived thousands of years ago and Mashiach hasn't arrived yet. So we have a lot to talk about this evening, my dear friends. But just so you know, that's the way we are going to be going. And I'll encourage you all, if you have questions, you can wait to the end. I'll try my best. I know Mashiach better than Eliyahu, but I'm going to try my absolute best to give you what I can. So we don't really get too much biographical information on Elijah the prophet, except that his last name is Prophet and his middle name is The. However, we do know a little bit about him from stories from Tanakh. And that's going to give us something. And he's introduced to us as Eliyahu Navi, which we're going to talk about this evening. And he's going to return as a Navi, which is going to be a very important part of our discussion this evening. That prophecy is going to return to the Jewish people. Because if Eliyahu is coming back, that's if he ever left. That's something I have to figure out as well. Because we're going to see he's one of nine people who descended alive to heaven, whatever that means. But we're going to have to find out exactly what role he had, what role he will have, and why he's coming back in order to do what. That's going to be our discussion this evening. He's referred to as Eliyahu Navi, the prophet, and although the Jewish people are no longer a prophet organization, thank you very much, I'll be all night, enjoy the chicken, we will be again. And he's going to be one of the first ones to reinstitute Nevuah into the world, and maybe something else. We'll come to different opinions. But he's also called Eliyahu HaTishbi. Anyone sing the songs by Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi? So what is this Tishbite thing all about? So one opinion I think of Rashi's is he came from a place called Toshav, right? So, you know, it's Shoshana, the Long Islander, Rabbi Lawrence Hajioff, the Monsieur. Yeah, that's the way people were known. People were known historically, up to fairly recently, by the area they came from. I mean, even today, right? We had recently a Bostoner Rebbe. Okay, so we do use geographical locations to identify people. But that's not a discussion today. There's another opinion from Chazal that is called Eliyahu Navi and Eliyahu HaTishbi, because not only is he going to be a prophet again, but he's also going to give us Teshuvah. Teshuvah and Toshav, Tishbi, are related. He is Mr. Repentance. That's who he's going to be. And maybe that's going to be the connection to his mission, to come before Mashiach. So part of his mission, as we always say, is in the name itself. Eliyahu is going to be seen as the one who's going to reinvigorate us to do teshuvah, which in of itself is going to be a catalyst to the arrival of Mashiach. How far before Mashiach? We'll look at a few opinions a little bit later. But let's get a bit of a history of him, because when Tanakh give us stories about various great individuals, we can assume those stories are more than just nice things we can learn ideas from, but also we're getting into the crux of who this person was. For example, we meet Avraham Avinu doing chesed. Therefore, Avraham Avinu is Mr. Chesed. And we don't meet Avraham Avinu studying in a tent. We meet him and his wife as a team doing chesed, feeding the malachim. So already we're getting a feel for who this person was by the story that's used in Tanakh to introduce this person. I'm sure a lot of things happened to Avraham Avinu, and a lot of things happened to Eliyahu HaNavi. But various choice morsels were given to us to give us more than just background about the events, but also about the people. And I always like to say, the Torah is not a history of events. Now, look at the way Karl Marx, Lahavdil, looked at history. He looked at history as a history of events that occur, right? And the people who are pushed down by them or lifted up by them. We don't see it that way at all. We see Jewish history as a history of people. That's why creation is an event that takes, what, 20, 30 pesukim at the beginning of the Torah. And very quickly, it's Adam, and it's Chava, and it's Shes, and it's Noah, and it's Abraham. We're more interested in history of people than we are in events. So let's have a look at two events from Eliyahu HaNavi's life that we're told about in Sefer Melachim. And maybe each one of these will give us a little bit of a background as to who he was, so that we can figure out when he comes back, which you can't say about too many people in Tanakh, right? But Eliyahu HaNavi, he's coming back. We're going to see him again, if we haven't already. We have many stories. Actually, I thought about it right now. One from my own family, that my grandfather, my mother's father, it was like a known thing in his town in Israel, after he moved there, that he actually had a run-in with Eliyahu HaNavi. True or not true, we don't know. It's actually an interesting story, not for now. If you remind me at the end, we have time, I'll tell you the story. But I've met many people and heard many stories from men, women, and children who've had various unusual run-ins with an individual who either gave them information or did something for them or to them and then disappeared very quickly. Just so you know, I heard this from a great rabbi, Rabbi Pinchas Jung, who told me that meeting Eliyahu HaNavi is pretty good, but there's better people to meet. He's actually not even ranked the highest, whatever that means. So maybe that's part of his not passing that we can talk about. So first of all, we meet Eliyahu HaNavi with his resurrection of a boy. And he went to a place called Tsarfasa, and there was a woman. And this woman would greet him and take care of him when he was passing through town, which he did a lot. He didn't stay in one place. You see, Eliyahu HaNavi is always moving around. He's someone who's trying to inspire and bring Nevuah and Torah and teachings to various people in various communities, right? This is in tradition with all great Jewish heroes and heroines. We rarely see them stay in one place for too long. They're always schlepping around because you can't influence that many people staying in one location. That's why Avraham Avinu schlepped around. That's why Jewish people, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu schlepped around. We see a lot of the great heroes and heroines don't get to stay in tranquility in one place too long. And so with Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi goes out and he meets this woman and she befriends him and gives him food. And one day he turns up and he says, I'm hungry, I need to eat and drink. She says, I have just enough for me and my son. I can't give you anything. We learn from this concept, by the way, Checha Kodmin, that your life takes precedence over someone else. She only had enough food for her and her son. However, he realized that this woman did not have enough for others, and he gave her a bracha, and a miracle occurred, and a great amount of food and drink, oil, were available, flour and oil were available for her entire year. Soon after this, her young son, who she tried very hard to conceive, became deathly ill. And according to most, not all, some say that he was still alive, but his pulse was undetectable. But most others say, no, he died. He died. And this woman pleaded with Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a long story, but not for now. You can look it up in the Book of Kings. And she pleaded with him to bring him back. Okay. So there's a certain assumption that he had the ability to resurrect the dead. You should know that most people, great tzaddikim in those days, had the ability to resurrect the dead. Actually, even the Gemara is full of people being Machai Mesim. Well, we'll leave that aside. Many of those stories are analogies, they're metaphors and not literal. But over here, it's a literal story. This boy died, and Eliyahu HaNavi felt the need to reciprocate all the favors she did for him by keeping him alive with food and water. And so he said, you know what? She took care of me. I'll take care of her. And he laid him down and he lied on top of him. And he was able, after a few times, to either just bring him back to life because he was kind of like not feeling so well. But some say, no, he resurrected this young boy. Eliyahu HaNavi has the ability to be Mechai Mesim, to bring the dead back to life. Anyone know, for an extra credit that you're not going to get, so I'll give you an extra piece of schnitzel on Shabbos, who this young boy grew up to become, according to Chazal?
Yonah.
Yonah, who said that?
Asif.
Very nice, congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yonah the prophet, actually, who, as himself, as we know, would one day learn from Eliyahu HaNavi, end up schlepping off, becoming a great prophet in his own right, and try to bring this nation in Nineveh back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I must tell you one quick story, probably unrelated to what we're discussing tonight. I recently was interviewed online. This discussion is available on my Facebook page and my Instagram, no, on my Facebook page, with a bishop, an evangelical bishop. And I've known this guy for years. We've had a close relationship. He brings thousands of Christians to Israel every single year. And we were having this discussion, and obviously he's evangelical, right? You can imagine the amount of comments that were coming in that were like so positive. You talk to Jews, they're just kvetching about the sound and the rabbi and the food. And here, you'll have a look. You can see hundreds of comments. God bless you, Rabbi. I'm like, wow. If I get ill, have these people to daven for me. Just let me know, right? Because that's the guy. So we were talking. So I mentioned this idea because there's a lot of fatalism in other religions where they think once the prophet says something, it's a given. It's a given. It's going to happen. And the answer is that is only true with positive prophecy, which we're going to talk about tonight. Negative prophecy does not need to happen, which we're also going to mention tonight. Okay. For example, we all know that there's something called Gog and Magog, one of the final battles that will occur, right, whether before or after Eliyahu HaNavi turns up, probably before, actually, many, many casualties will happen. According to the Rambam, that does not need to occur. We do not need to have this because we know from Yonah, who saved Eliyahu HaNavi, that he went to Nineveh and he said, you guys are all dead. And these were non-Jews, by the way. And they turned around and they were like, no, we don't want to die. And he's like, tough. You've been bad. You're going to die. And they were like, no, please don't kill us. And he's like, no, Hashem's going to kill you. And went backwards and forwards. What happened? They did teshuvah. What did God do? He didn't kill them. What did Yonah say? It's not fair. You schlepped me all the way here to kill these people, and you end up saving these people. What's all that about? Well, we learn that negative prophecies, right, are able to be averted through teshuva, tefillah, and through tzedakah, through do good, generous acts. Okay, so we have the power to avert even the worst nevuah. However, positive prophecies must occur. Okay, and actually, the way to identify that a prophet is a real prophet is the fact that he actually proves something good will happen, and that thing must occur. That was one of the verification processes that was needed for Eliyahu, and actually will be needed for Mashiach, who himself will be a Navi as well. But that's another discussion, not for now. Okay, so that's story number one. So one thing we gave Eliyahu Navi is he's bringing people back to life, right? And he's going out teaching Torah and bringing Jews back to Judaism. He saw that as his mission. The next story is Eliyahu at Har Carmel at Mount Carmel. And we know that in the Northern Kingdom, there was a lot of people who are following Baal, the false god, and it became rampant through specifically the Northern Kingdom in Israel. And he'd become very, very frustrated with this whole occurrence. And he had decided that he was going to do something about it. And so there was a showdown. And he turned to these 450 priests, I believe, of Baal. And he said, I got two cows. All right, pick one. And they picked one. And they killed them both. And they said, whoever the cow is going to be, bull, I think it was, is going to be accepted. And the fire shall descend upon it, is the chosen one. And the Baals got very excited. And they kept praying. No fire, no fire, no fire. And they prayed and they cut themselves and they self-flagellated themselves, which you don't need nowadays. It's kind of happening in society. And they kept doing it and doing it. Gornished. Ali Arnavi laughed at them. He made fun of them. By the way, people think, oh, it's so mean. Why is he laughing? And there's a tradition to laugh at Avodah Zarah. There's a tradition to laugh and make fun, leitzanus, of Avodah Zarah. We see many of Chazal went out of their ways to laugh and jokes about people and false small g gods that were out there. And he started making fun of them and laughing at them. And this carried on all morning. Eventually, he took jugs of water, had them pour the water on his cow, and a fire descended and consumed the entire animal. I'll mention, I heard this from one of my rebbeim a number of years ago, that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a similar showdown. And yet, the fire will descend upon the false Avodah Zarah cow and won't burn ours up. And this will be one of the great tests that will occur right before the end of days. That actually their Avodah Zarah will catch fire and will be like the real one, which it isn't obviously. And many Jews are going to be tested, whether it's a literal test or whether it's a metaphorical test, that many people are going to follow false gods and see truth in theirs and not in ours and our own people. Actually, Daniel the prophet speaks about this, and the Rambam actually says that atheism and going towards false gods is going to be prevalent right before Mashiach comes. Okay? So now we have a couple of stories over here. Story number one, he's Mr. Tshuva, and he can bring back the dead. Number two, we see that he is able to bring teshuvah and destroy false and fake religions. So number one is important because we're going to see the resurrection is going to come back. And according to many opinions, Eliyahu Navi is going to be the first person to be resurrected before Mashiach comes. He is number one. That body that didn't die, that ascended to heaven in a fiery chariot and with fiery horses, that never died at all for whatever reason, is going to come back, and that neshama is going to be replanted into a guf that is going to take on the same form as the one that went up to Shemayim, and it's going to be the first member of Klal Yisrael who's going to be resurrected, and then he's going to come forward, as we're going to see from the prophet, we're going to read the prophet itself, himself, is going to announce the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Let's talk about Pesach Seder. And I'm going to tell you a story, actually. It's story time with Raya. Who doesn't like a good story? Everyone likes a good story. This is a true story, actually, with a very dear friend of mine who I was in yeshiva with. He was a Baal Tshuva from a completely secular background. Now he's a very religious Jew, married with kids, actually a therapist who lives in Queens. He tells the following story. He said he grew up in a completely secular family. I mean, like, barely Yom Kippur, barely Rosh Hashanah. Forget twice a year Jew. He wasn't even a once a year Jew, you know. But as you know, most people do keep Pesach Seder in some form. And he had some kind of Maxwell Haggadah, you know what I'm talking about. And when are we going to eat the chicken? Right, hurry up, read through it quickly. I'm just impersonating your family and everyone's family. Just get on with it. Right, it's enough already. Right, how religious are you? Just read it. My grandfather just read it. Okay, fine. And that was pretty much his Pesach Seder, which had mats on the table and bread as well. But he said his father who was since passed away, as that is Lamaya, but his father was a famous doctor who was completely irreligious, but once a year would do one thing. He would get up during the Pesach Seder. He would go to the front door. He would open the front door. He would stand still for about 60 seconds. He would read a few words from the Haggadah, probably in the English, and everyone else was kind of doing their own thing. And they would close the door and sit down. And my friend said, as a young boy, he'd say, "Dad, what are you doing? Why did you just open the front door?" And he said, "Well, Elijah the prophet turns up at every Pesach Seder." And us was letting him in. And he said, as a young boy, I was like, "I don't see Elijah the prophet. What are you talking about? I don't see him anywhere over here." And he said, "This is what I received, that Elijah the prophet's spirit comes and visits every Pesach Seder table." And my friend said to me, he said, "That's 1 minute a year impacted me so much. That's what made me come from many years ago in my 20s. Is that wild? I mean, there's a lot in that story. There's a lot. Firstly, just 1 minute can be enough to inspire a person. Just a few words, even here, just an action can inspire a person to completely take on Torah and mitzvah. Although it happened many, many years later, it was a seed that was planted. But his father was right. Elijah the prophet comes in to every Pesach Seder table. And all of you, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, are going to drink 4 cups. And then your parents or grandparents, whoever it is, brings out an even bigger cup and fills it up, and no one drinks it. Right? And what do we call that cup? The cup of Elijah the prophet. Now, when I was a kid, I'm sure you did it too. He used to nudge the table, right? Some of the wine would spill. "You see, Abba Ima, they drank some. Elijah was here, you know?" I still do that. Got to keep my kids interested. You know what it is. And we're still doing that. So what is that fifth cup doing? So we're going to discuss that fifth cup. And we're going to discuss the number 5, actually. Because you want to know one number that relates to Eliyahu Navi. The number 5, the Chamsa, is going to be the number that does it. So what exactly is Elijah the prophet doing at our Pesach Seder? Well, it's pretty simple if you think about it. What are we celebrating on Pesach? The redemption of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Now, Mitzrayim isn't one of the 4 galil, the 4 exiles the Jewish people went through. But, say Chazal, inside the Egyptian exile is everything you need to know about every future exile and the final redemption as well. And so here we are, 6 years after leaving Mitzrayim, and we're still talking about the redemption. And so we say to Hashem, "Hashem, look, you took us out 3,500 years ago, and we're still sitting here talking, eating matzah, maroch, haroset, no chametz, right? Schlepping our grandparents, right? Dusting them off once a year, schlepping to the table. You see that we're still connected to that first exile, as we say in Musaf of Shabbat, the repetition, right? In the Kedusha. So too, we want the second one. What's the Shniyah, the second one? Mashiach to come. We want Mashiach to come as well, right? We obviously appreciate Geula, redemption. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. Therefore, we want to expedite the arrival. How do we expedite the arrival? Bring us Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu Tishbi, right? He'll bring Teshuvah. Teshuvah is going to be one of the prerequisites to bring Mashiach. That's going to be the thing we have to do. So bring him to us. And the merit of this Pesach Seder that we're celebrating, the redemption will happen. Fifth cup, we'll get to a little bit later. Where does this come from? Where did this idea that before Mashiach comes, we have someone called Eliyahu Navi? So to do that, we have to go, not coincidentally, to the final prophecy of the final prophet in Tanakh, because prophecy is coming back. And his name is Malachi, Malachi. And his prophecy is pretty short, part of the Triasa. He's the last of the 12. And in the third chapter of the prophecy, he says the following. V'zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah Moshe, my servant. Asher tzivati oto b'chorev al kol Yisrael, who I commanded him at Chorev, right? That is Mount Sinai, why it's called Chorev, some places, another discussion. I'll come back for another time. For all of Israel, and remember all the chukim and the mishpatim and the Torah. So before we get to the next verse, we know you're going to have to remember something. You're going to have to remember Moshe Rabbeinu, remember Torah, remember chukim, remember mishpatim. Okay? So Torah is a prerequisite for the next verse. The two up next to each other, it can't be a coincidence. And it isn't. Because the next verse, although seemingly is a completely different topic, after the prophet says, remember Torah, he says, Hine, behold, Anochi I, this is Hashem speaking, through his prophet Malachi, Sholech Lechem, I'm sending to you, Et Eliyah, Eliyah. Doesn't say Eliyahu, but that's Eliyahu. Hanavi, the prophet, Lifnei, before, Bo Yom Hashem, Hagadol Vahanora, I'm going to send you the prophet, the great prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of God. What awesome day are we talking about that Elijah the prophet is going to precede? That's the great day of judgment, which will be brought in with Mashiach. Okay? So we know that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi, from this verse and some others, I believe, is going to announce the arrival of Mashiach. As a side point, there is one unusual grammatical word over here we're going to have to double-click on. And the word is, Hine Anochi Sholeach. Sholeach. I mentioned this in my Mashiach class, those who've been in it. Sholeach is not actually what it should say. What should the word be? Behold, I'm going to send. I think my grammar's not so good. I wasn't so good in the yeshiva, unfortunately. But I believe it's Ashaleach. I will send Eliyahu Navi before the great and awesome day. Because this event happened in the past. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Hine Anochi Sholeach. What does Sholeach mean as opposed to Ashaleach? I am sending in the present tense. Why is Malachi talking in the present tense? It's a good question. It's not mine. The Chofetz Chaim asks that question, and thank God, he answers it as well. And he says, because Mashiach, and therefore Eliyahu Navi, can appear at any given moment. And therefore it says, Hine Anochi Sholech, I'm sending, because at any moment in history, Mashiach can occur just like that. Eliyahu Navi can precede him and say, hello, Mashiach is here. So it's put in the present tense to tell you that Mashiach's arrival is not something that's going to happen in the future. It can happen right now. And when we say bring Mashiach now, we actually mean now. We actually mean now. Okay? So that is important information. The Midrash tells, let me read this Midrash to you about Elijah the prophet. The Midrash tells us when this statement of Malachi and another statement of Zechariah the prophet. Zechariah says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 14, sing and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I'm coming, and I will dwell in your midst, the word of Hashem. This actually is a statement that is referring to Elijah the prophet. When will this occur, says the Midrash? At the time when Hashem redeems Israel. 3 days before the coming of Mashiach, says the Midrash, Eliyahu Navi will arrive, stand upon the mountains of Israel. It's in the plural, I don't know which mountain. And he will cry and lament over them, saying, mountains of the land of Israel, until when will you remain in ruins and desolation, destruction? Probably a reference to Har HaBayit. His voice will be heard from one end of the world to the other. That's because someone's going to film it, stick it on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, and it's going to spread very quickly. Behold, doesn't say that inside, by the way, Midrash. Behold on the mountains, the feet of the herald proclaiming shalom, peace. When the wicked will hear this, they will rejoice and say, peace has come to us. On the second, that's the third day. On the second day, Eliyahu will come and stand on the mountain of Israel and say, goodness has come to the world. As it says, heralding good tidings. There is a prophet from Yeshaya Navi, chapter 52, verse 7. On the third day, you will come and say, salvation has come to the world. Mashiach arrives. So he's going to come right before Mashiach's arrival, after he's been resurrected, according to that opinion, because according to Reish Lakish in the Gemara, he never died at all. He never died at all. And his coming is therefore always present and always happen to happen, always able to happen in the blink of an eye. And so we see from this Midrash that God actually consoles the Jewish people by invoking the name of Elijah the prophet and says it's going to be okay. Eliyahu Navi's coming. It's all going to be good. When you see Eliyahu Navi's name being mentioned in terms of the future, good things are going to be happening. And one of the reasons he comes before Mashiach, as we already mentioned, first of all, we saw from Malachi, he's going to bring Torah in the form of Teshuvah. He's Eliyahu Tishbi. He's the one who's going to give us the ability to do Teshuvah. And we know from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, at the end of the prophet, the chapter over there, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach in two ways, Be'ito and Nachishena. Be'ito means in its time, right? That means the time that God had given for Mashiach to arrive, most likely, most say, by the 6,000th year. But the Achishena word of Elijah, of Isaiah the prophet, is actually the earlier time, the inner time that Mashiach can come, which will be brought around through Teshuvah. So according to that, this coming of Eliyahu is there to, whether literally within days or weeks or months, we're not sure, but to invoke and to inspire us to Teshuvah, which will bring around the Echishana version, which will be able to shorten the amount of time we're in Galut, the final exile, which will bring Mashiach. So there's like a catalyst of stuff that is happening, and we, the Jewish people, are all part of that process. Okay, how long are we doing? Oh, fine. Can you handle another 5 more minutes, Rabbi? I don't want to overstep my time. I don't have a social life. I could be here all night. Okay, so it goes like this. Yaakov Avinu and Eliyahu Navi have this relationship. Eliyahu Navi and Yaakov Avinu have this very deep and intense relationship. Now, why it's Yaakov that has a relationship with the Eliyahu Navi and not Avram Avinu or Yitzchak, but it seems to gravitate towards Yaakov. Now, remember, Yaakov is the Av of Golus. Yaakov is the one who was thrown into Golus. Yaakov is the one who I'm speaking like an Ashkenazi, in Galut, right? He stood before he left Eretz Yisrael and Harabayit. There was a ladder. He saw the angels going up and down. These four angels represented the four Galiot that his descendants would go through. So we know that Yaakov is all about the four exiles and presumably the end of the exile, because Yaakov was privy to information that no one else was privy to, except Daniel the prophet and probably his grandfather and father were. But we know for sure that Yaakov knew when Mashiach was arriving. And we know for sure he was about to reveal it to his kids. Remember the whole thing? And it was sausage, it was closed off, and so the pashas are closed. He wasn't allowed to tell, but he knew the cates. Yaakov was one of the few people who knew when Mashiach was coming. And if he knew when Mashiach was coming, he definitely knew when Eliyahu Navi was coming. Why Yaakov specifically? Well, he said he's Mr. Galut. But it wasn't Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu, his mitzvah was not Shalem. Right here, Yishmael. And Yitzchak had a Esav, but Yaakov, perfect. When we talk about redemption, we talk about him and all of his kids and all their descendants. So Yaakov's the only one, says Rashi, his mitzvah was Shalem, his bed was complete, i.e. everyone that came out of his bed, all of his kids were all perfect, they were all good, they were good, nice Jewish boys and girls. So that worked out very, very nicely. Okay, so now we know Yaakov and Eliyahu have this relationship and this connection. We also know that Yaakov says, and it's mentioned in Vayikra, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov. There seems to be this bris, and the Torah is referencing it over here, says the Midrash, that Yaakov was part of some future covenant. That means a bris, a promise, an unbreakable promise of what would happen. And obviously, if it's unbreakable, it's good. It's good. What exactly, what deal do we have? This promise that was made between Yaakov and Eliyahu Navi. And to do this, we have to look at something pretty interesting. The word Eliyahu is spelled fully with a Vav right through Tanakh. But on five occasions, the letter Vav is pulled out, right? And it's spelled Chaser. That verse we just spoke about in Malachi is one of the five occasions where Eliyahu HaNavi's name is Chaser, where the Vav is taken out. Okay? There is no Vav. There is no Vav. Now, why the Vav is important, why that letter was chosen, remind me in a few minutes. I'm going to get to it. Right? That's my Vav over there. Now, Yaakov's name, however, is usually not spelt with a Vav, but on five occasions, it is. So we see the traveling Vav from Eliyahu. On five occasions, the Vav is missing. And we see later on that Yaakov Avinu, right, or before actually, he's got five extra Vavs that are added to his name. Because you could spell Eliyahu Chaser, empty, without the Vav. You could spell it Male, with a Vav. And you can do the same with Yaakov. Yaakov, right, could be Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vav, right? Or a Vav could be stuck in between the Kuf and the Vav in order to make it Male. Is that right? So you can actually put the Vav over there. It seems, if I'm not mistaken, that Yaakov Avinu stole five Vavs from Eliyahu HaNavi. What exactly is Yaakov doing? Well, first of all, what's a Vav? What does the word Vav actually mean? Anyone know what's a Vav? Vav is actually a word. A Vav next to a Vav, right? Which spells the name letter Vav, is actually a word as well, which means something very different. Anybody know what a Vav is?
A hook.
Very good. Excellent. A hook. That's why the letter Vav actually means and, right? Because and is hooking the word before it. And that's why the word and in Hebrew is never a separate word. It's always hooked on to the word right after it. You say v'aretz, the land, right? So I'm actually, it's acting as a hook and attaching it to what happened before. So now we kind of see over here, let me think out loud, that Yaakov and Eliyahu are kind of like dragging something along together. They're hooking us to something and schlepping along, and the Vav is going to do it. So that's one thing. Yaakov is making Eliyahu Navi, if you will, taking the Vav and like, we need you and I'm going to drag you along with these five Vavs that you're missing. Wait, like the hooks on a train that connect the carriages. I'm going to connect. I'm going to pull you out, right? And I'm going to drag you out. But what else does a Vav even look like? What does a Vav look like? It looks like a finger, doesn't it? It looks like a finger. And that's what Chazal say. The Maral and the gets this from the Midrash and says that actually these five Vavs that Yaakov hijacked from Eliyahu are actually five fingers. And five fingers represent a hand. What do you do with a hand? You shake. Well, pre-corona. You shake, right? You shake with a hand. What does the shake of a hand do? It's a promise. Right, there are many businesses in the past and still today. You shake on it, it's got to happen. Right, you shake on it, it's happening. Yaakov Avinu traveled in time and he took the five fingers, the five hooks, right, of Eliyahu HaNavi, and he shook his hand and he dragged him, he vavved him into the future and said, I know when you're meant to come and I'm going to make sure that this thing happens. You better promise me that you come and you redeem my children. Because I've been told that my kid's going to go through four galut, and you're going to come and you're going to end that final galut. Shake my hand. That's the five, the secret of the five Vavs, the traveling Vavs from Eliyahu, book to Yaakov, because Yaakov Avinu grabbed his hand and pulled him through history and dragged him through a Vav process. How wild is that? Let's go to our Pesach Seder Tel, because that's going to make sense. And we'll finish with this, and you can go back to your lives. and I can get back to my life, and we'll bring Mashiach with this piece of information. So now Eliyahu HaNavi's at the Pesach Seder table, and we know there are four cups, and the four cups represent the four expressions of redemption that the Jewish people went through. But there are, as well, four exiles that we, the Jewish people, have had to go through since Mitzrayim. And these four cups, I think, as well, are going to represent those four exiles, right? But we are drinking in celebration that each one of them is going to come to an end. But there's a fifth cup. What is the fifth cup doing there? And why aren't we drinking it? Now you should have the answer. It should be crystal clear. And that is because Eliyahu HaNavi is coming into the house. And we're like, look, I just downed four cups of wine. In your case, grape juice, you're too young. But I just drank four cups of wine. But I got a fifth. And it's bigger. And it's better. Because actually half the Pesach Seder is about history. But the other half is about Mashiach coming. That's why we finish the Pesach Seder, the Shana Abba, Yerushalayim. Not on vacation in Hilton Tel Aviv, although that does sound good. No, it means with Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, with the third and final Beit HaMikdash. And so really the Pesach Seder is traveling right through time. We start with Avraham Avinu, right, being the son of Terach, the idol worshiper. And we go right through to Mashiach's arrival. And we're saying, Eliyahu, come, I got a fifth cup. I can't drink it yet. I want to drink it. It's so big and so beautiful, but I'm going to have to pour it away. But it's here and it's ready for you to be drunk. So that fifth cup is actually there to remind Eliyahu HaNavi, who never died, who can turn up every Brit Milah, another discussion, not for now, and every Pesach Seder, and the cup is ready to go. And it's charged and it's full. Koshel bracha maleh. But I can't make a bracha on it. The first four I make a bracha. I can't make a brach on this yet because you haven't arrived. But when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and starts Tchiyat HaMetim and announces the arrival of Mashiach, we're going to make that final fifth bracha and we're going to finally get to drink that fifth and final cup, which is why according to Chazal, probably the most conducive, Mashiach can come at any time, but the most conducive time to Mashiach's arrival is Nisan, because we were redeemed in Nisan and we will be redeemed in Nisan. Because that's the month of redemption, of Geula. So we can tap into that energy. And that's why we choose Pesach as well. Because Pesach falls slap bang in the middle of Nisan, which is the springtime when everyone goes free. And so Mashiach can come at any time. But ideally, that's the time we're able to speedy and hasten his arrival. That, my friends, is the history of Eliyahu HaNavi. He's Mr. Resurrection. He's Mr. Teshuvah. In the merit of Teshuvah, he can bring redemption. And he can bring Mashiach, because according to Isaiah, that's the Achishana. And that's why we're going to bring that fifth cup out. There, specifically at the Pesach table, you freed us then, Hashem, free us now. Bring Eliyahu HaNavi, lifnei bo yom anor rabbi gadol hazeh, before the great special day, to announce the arrival of Mashiach, so we can all drink that fifth and final cup. My friends, we've come to the end of our discussion. Thank you all for being part of this. It's so good to see many familiar faces.
Thank you, Rabbi.
New ones. I appreciate you being here and being part of this wonderful event. And Rabbi Bernstein, a big thank you to you and the Rebbeson for keeping Torah going right through the summer season.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Oh.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Stay well, stay healthy, stay Jewish.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.